Mr. Swayze adjacent. He couldn't be in everything. There's Swayze adjacent. So we'll talk about him. There's Swayze adjacent. He couldn't be in everything. There's Swayze adjacent. So we'll talk about him.
Hello, hello, hello everyone again. My name's Vince Troia. This is Crazy for Swayze, as always. Josh is here, holding down the ones and twos, as always. And we are doing another shtick, as always. Everyone, March continues. March rolls on. We are just getting Irish and doing all sorts of stuff. Right, Josh?
Yeah, I'm so Irish right now.
How Irish are you?
I'm so Irish that I've got Lucky Charms on my mind. I didn't know where the sentence was going when I began it, so.
We decided to have a nice, chill family Sunday, right? Mallory and Joe are here. We're going to dive into this TV show that was British called The Magical Legend of the Leprechauns.
Great.
Is this chill vibe helping everybody smooth along this Sunday?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're looping it up.
Should I be yelling?
No.
No. No.
La-di-di-di-di-di.
Oh.
Is that racist?
I don't know.
It's not racist.
I don't know. The more that I think about the plight of the Irish people, the more I think, and the history, like recent history, the more I think these guys might not be white, you know, in the way that we're allowed to make fun of their accents, at least.
Yeah.
Like, the Italians, you know, they've come a long way in the last, say, 50 years. I think it's, you know, spicy meatball, et cetera.
We can tease them dagos, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if it's okay to make fun of the Irish anymore.
I'm Italian. Just so everyone knew this. Can I say...
I think we can do that accent.
Can I do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't decide. Joe, what do you think?
About doing the accent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it matters. Irish people don't take themselves that seriously. If anything, they'll be like, that was really bad.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
I don't know.
So it's fine.
Yeah, it's just so weird. It's a weird situation.
Irish people make fun of themselves, like, constantly. They're the most self-deprecating humans alive, so I don't think they're worried about you doing a joke accent.
Okay, hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity.
Yeah,
well, yes.
Nailed it.
Everyone, Joe is here as our Ireland expert, and Matt is here as our leprechaun expert, because this movie TV show thing, I don't have much experience in either, and I felt like this was appropriate for you two, because Mal and Josh have recently watched all of the Leprechauns, right?
Right.
Do you have an opinion about Leprechauns that you would like to see in this film?
I hope it's similar to what I have been seeing, except Leprechaun's origin story. I think that was horrendous. It was like Descent meets the Leprechaun.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of terrifying.
Were they going into like a cave and stuff like that?
No, they were like in a shack, like in the Irish countryside.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Being a bed and breakfast locked in, and then they're like, we have to feed the leprechaun before he takes our gold or whatever. I don't know. It was horrible.
You know that the leprechaun doesn't take their gold. They take the leprechaun's gold.
Right.
How does the leprechaun obtain his gold?
Just by being miserly, I think, is the legend. Leprechauns are members of the fae community, but they are known to be cobblers specifically.
Oh, they love shoes.
Yeah.
That's true. They do, yeah.
In the first two movies,
he loves shoes. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of falls to the wayside. But then in like the reboot that they did recently, he loves shoes again.
Hell yeah.
It's actually, it's not so much a reboot, right? It's like a direct sequel to the first Leprechaun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they love shoes and just like, yo, those are sick? Or is it in like a Jerry Brudos way where he wants to like...
It's like in an obsessive
shoes.
Compulsive way. Like you got to clean them. Like in the beginning, they would utilize it as traps and stuff so they can get away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's got to go get the shoes and like clean them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's sick. That's terrifying. That's sick, though. I didn't know anything about that.
That's actually how you could trap my dad, is by giving him dirty white sneakers. That man will just sit there for 2 hours. James Patrick Burke will sit there for 2 hours and clean your dirty New Balance.
You know what? We're gonna figure out if this guy's a leprechaun, I think.
Oh, yeah?
So, Dad, tell me, how is it that you ate a leprechaun again? Okay. Uh-huh. The shoes? Uh-huh.
I've never seen my dad and a leprechaun in the same room at the same time.
The gold. All right. So anyway.
They might be the same.
My dad says he ate the leprechaun. leprechaun, because if he was the leprechaun, then why would he love cleaning shoes so much, and why would he count all his gold?
Exactly. Cleared.
He did bury a lot of gold in the backyard.
Oh.
No, he didn't. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, the
that would nail it.
Though. The best thing about the leprechaun is that, like, he wants his gold and he needs his gold, but he doesn't have, like, any supernatural way to locate it. He's just got to, like, ask everybody, where's me gold? And everyone's like, we don't fucking know anything about your gold.
You just follow the rainbow, right?
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone can find it. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, anyone can find the gold except the leprechaun. He's like, where's my gold?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. All the media I've ever consumed involving leprechauns, they're always like trying to find. Like they're very forgetful and they misplace things. It seems like
he dies and then he comes back. So to me, it makes sense that he can't find his gold. He's been dead.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I think it's more of like he's in hibernation mode.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
he's ruminating or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just spending time in the fairy world, like Tir na n'Og or whatever it's called.
Not by his choice, usually.
He doesn't like being there. He likes like hanging out with the boys and smoking weed.
Yeah,
sure. Who doesn't?
That's why he goes to the hood, right?
Yes. Mm. That was the best one. Well, the second one.
I think they stole his gold. I think that's how he got to the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Well, this doesn't have the hood in it, unfortunately.
Well, it does have Ireland, though.
It has England. Has England. It was not filmed in Ireland at all. So I hope you guys like that.
Sure.
I mean,
like, I don't know. Why would you make a movie about leprechauns and not film it in England? Especially, in Ireland. My mistake.
Well, maybe it's like offensive.
Yeah, I would actually imagine that a bunch of English people and American people coming in doing terrible accents and doing like a version of your folklore that is completely inaccurate would piss you off a little bit, so they probably just kept it in-house, you know?
And what year did this come out?
That's a great point. This came out in 99.
Oh, okay. Yes.
This came out on November 7th, 1999, right? And it was filmed through NBC Studios and Hallmark Entertainment. So this is going to have some tinges of Hallmark movies in it.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's a Hallmark movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Party.
I don't know. Like I know some of the cast, but I haven't heard of this director, right? His name's John Henderson. He did a few other movies. He did Loch Ness in 96, Alice Through the Looking Glass in 98, and Adventures of the Greyfarer's Bobby in 2005. And that was all about a dog who would go and visit his dead owner's grave every single day.
Wow.
Yeah. So if that
all those posters look like shit. I looked at the posters for the movies that he made. Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does not look like a super fun movie. But you know, we could be wrong about this one. It has, like I said, a cast that I was at least somewhat familiar with, right? Some people we've seen on this podcast before. We've got Randy Quaid, who we watched in Brokeback Mountain and Freaked. We've got Whoopi Goldberg, of course, from Ghost and The Player. We've got Robert Daltrey. Excuse me, not Robert. Roger Daltrey from The Who, the singer of The who was also in Tommy. And Chom Meany, who we watched in Under Siege, and he also is in Con Air, right?
His last name is Meany. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How's his first name spelled? Sorry.
C-O-L-M.
Colm.
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 Colm. Excuse me. Colm Meany. And we are also seeing Kieran Culkin and Caroline Carver, who we watched in George and the Dragon. So, I don't remember who Caroline was in that film. Unfortunately, but she's a blonde lady, so keep an eye out for a blonde lady.
Okay, and the baby Culkin.
And the baby Culkin.
The baby Culkin.
Yep, the smaller one. So it is a little bit of a cast. I don't know anyone outside of that, though, unfortunately.
Whoopi Goldberg. Wait, you already said that.
I did say Whoopi Goldberg.
It's the most important person.
Yep, I did say Whoopi Goldberg. But yeah, like I said, this was filmed in England, so we unfortunately won't get to see any of the Irish settings and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm hoping that this will be somewhat mythical and like shot in like utilizing some green screens and shit like that to give us more fantasy, right?
Yeah, show us that leprechaun world. I want to see the leprechaun's house.
Yeah?
Where does he live? Does he got kids? Got a wife?
Do leprechauns live in houses?
No. I think they live underground, right?
They live in mushrooms.
Shoe shops.
shoe shops.
Nailed it.
Mushrooms. You guys could be, yeah, I believe it. I got no idea. I don't know anything about these guys, right? But the little description on IMDb is telling us that an American spends his holiday in Ireland, where he is introduced to a world of magical creatures like leprechauns and fairies. And in a subplot, a forbidden love story blossoms between a leprechaun Mickey and a fairy Jessica, right? I've also heard that this storyline is a little bit of Romeo and Juliet-esque, so we have that to look forward to.
Okay.
It's crazy that he's on holiday and he's American. Americans don't go on holiday.
What, go on vacation.
Yeah, we go on vacation.
We go on vacation.
But the movie is British, so they're like, oh, he's here on holiday with all the vacation that he's accrued over the, you know, course of working for 10 years for the company he works for. He has
National Lampoons.
He has accrued 7 years of vacation.
Yeah, he's
7 years, 7 days of vacation.
Well,
after 10 years,
we got lucky, right? We found this on the internet streaming for free. It's on Crackle. It's on Freevee. We're watching it on Peacock. It's also on Pluto and Tubi. I think Tubi only has one of the two episodes, though.
Okay.
Right? It's useless.
It's also on YouTube. I was able to find both episodes on there for free, you know? So this is obtainable. And I have found a discrepancy in the times, right? Mm-hmm. I found versions that were about an hour and a half for each episode, putting us at 3 hours total, right? But I am also seeing that somebody has it for 2 hours and 19 minutes. I found another version on here that was supposedly German for 172 minutes. So I got no idea how they're getting all these fucking numbers.
We're not good at math.
I don't know how a movie adds 40 minutes to it.
I don't know.
Dude, I got no idea.
Maybe all the German words like translated over because they're really long, like, you know, when they have to like combine all their words, it's like maybe it just takes an extra 40 minutes to get all the shit out.
Yeah, they slow it down to 80% sometimes for dialogue.
I was just gonna say that. Like, holy shit. Is that a thing that happens? Do you think that that's a thing that happens with dubs? That they like slow down the film or speed up the film or something like that, depending on what the dub is?
I have no idea.
Well, and sometimes like when you're working with stuff on YouTube, it'll be like just like weird source material, you know, and like how you cut it up is kind of your choice when you post it. Like I found like six different versions of this animated film called The Snow Queen that I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I found we watched the right one though. No, it was good.
What was it?
It's a 1957 Soviet animated film. Based on the Hans Christian Andersen Snow Queen, which Frozen is also based on.
Okay.
Mm.
It's only like 40 minutes long. An hour long. It was bad. Nothing is bad if Kirsten Dunst is in it.
I don't think I've seen something bad with her in it. I think you might be right, Josh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, don't watch guys. The Snow Queen.
Okay.
I think you might be right. Okay.
Okay.
Like I said, we found this streaming all over the internet. If it's good, we'll suggest that you watch it. If it's not good, we'll tell you not to.
Immediately, as is our way of doing things.
Our mission statement?
That's tends to be what we do, right?
It tends to be what we do. Yeah. Are you guys ready to see Whoopi Goldberg as the Grand Banshee?
Yeah. Oh, God.
She's
going
to be the Grand Banshee?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's watch it. Shit, everyone. I had lots of fun with that. Ladies, how did you feel?
I feel like it didn't even happen. Like, what happened these past several hours? What did we watch?
It was what a roller coaster. Holy
shit. How do you
even
talk about that?
It was so much that went on.
That's why there's two parts.
It should have been eight parts. I feel like this should have been a television show.
Like an HBO miniseries.
Yeah, but no. They've squeezed so much into those 3 hours of film. we saw a war.
Uh-huh.
We saw the entirety of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else did we see? We saw a class struggle.
Yeah.
There's like a god queen.
Crow.
Emperor Crow.
Dude. Whoopi Goldberg as that fucking grand banshee. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how you feel, Josh.
Me, okay.
Josh, tell me about how you feel about that character.
Okay, I like the scene where she's like the Oracle from The Matrix. Mm. You know, like they go to her house and she's got the mask on and she's got the face mask, that is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's got her hair up in curlers.
Well, she
was some self care.
The Hotel Splendid.
The Splendid. I don't understand it. I don't understand how they got there. Where was it?
It's the world of her making, I believe.
Yeah. It was weird because they had to crawl into a cave that was guarded by a fire monster.
Uh-huh. Lava Man, yeah.
Lava Man.
Like, what the fuck was that? Is that something you've heard of before?
That Lava Man scene was like, it was like a porno. It was porno quality.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Like the Lava Man and Jessica, I think, both thought they were in a porno in that scene.
Yes. Oh, fuck. There was just so much going on. It kind of just like... It felt as if they were just, we're going to throw everything at the wall. Just, we're going to see what feels good. And I didn't know how much of the folklore was made up on the spot or if it was real, you know, like, because it seemed as if some of this, not that it was real, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't understand what you're saying.
But like, you know, some of the leprechaun stuff they were saying was like traditional stuff that we've heard before, but then other things weren't, you know?
I don't, like... By no means am I an expert. Like, I've taken some classes in college, but, like...
All leprechauns.
You don't know everything about leprechauns, Joe?
No, but, like, the banshee of her being, like, an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful... Like, she can, like... She's supposed to be, like, an arbiter of... Like, she's supposed to, like, be an albatross. Like, when she shows up, it's like, oh, bad shit's gonna happen. And, like, if you hear the banshee wail, then it's supposed to be bad news.
And
but, like... But not, like, she's able to stop time and death... And mortality.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck.
What happens to the fae folk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But she, you guys, she's not a grand banshee. She is a fucking crow.
Crow!
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Everything about her, I think, was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The whole character just seemed odd because was she the god of the fae people?
I think so.
It seemed like it.
Seemed like it.
But honestly, like, she's just a crow. Like, a crow could eat a little tiny fairy. A crow could eat a little leprechaun.
Yeah.
She was just a crow.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Dude.
She's just a crow.
How did she have the ability to take away and give them mortality?
Don't know.
You know?
Couldn't tell you.
And, like...
They live for thousands of years, but they die. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, we're immortal, but I guess sometimes we die.
That's it.
What the fuck?
That's not how it works.
Why was she... Did they explain, and I just missed, why she was the one to decide such things?
No!
They never explained that,
no. It was just, okay, this is just how it's working. All
yeah.
Right, all right.
Yeah, we're just to believe she's the... When it is revealed that she is also a god to people, that was too much for me. Like, when he's being carried by the crow, that's too much for me. I, like, what is going on?
First of all, whoever put Randy Quaid in this is a fucking monster.
Absolutely.
Like, we have to fight that person. Like,
that was the worst choice in casting I have ever seen.
Like, I thought he was amazing. No, he was bad.
It was bad.
The beginning of the movie is him, and they're, like, centering him as the main character, and it's like, stuff that he is doing is absolutely psychotic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was going to be revealed to be the actual villain in the end instead of, like, I don't know, like, halfway at the beginning of the second part, he is forgiven, and he suddenly lives in Ireland.
Yeah.
He got fired from his job.
So Jack was American, and he came to Ireland to see if he could buy up a bunch of land, right?
Yeah, and,
to
like, making sure I understand properties.
This correct. Yeah. Yeah. And then we're going to rent them because I thought it was going to be like a golf course for a second, you know?
Yeah.
It just seemed as if everybody had a different idea of what they was going to be built. So I just wanted to make sure I was in the right.
I thought they also mentioned casinos,
or
too.
Or like in Disney World or something, you know?
Yeah,
I was like, was it just for the houses, you know? Or was it something else? But like, he eventually starts exploring the area, and the first thing we really see him do is peep on a lady. And I was like, oh man, how is this going to go? And it went exactly how I thought it was going to go. It was anything about their first interaction. Jack and Catherine, the woman Kathleen, excuse me. Like, why did they force that so bad? Like, it didn't feel natural
or good
at all. Mm-mm. Like, they immediately set him up as threatening. Mm-hmm. By peeping on her as she's swimming naked. And then...
like, he sees her, and then he goes and hides and watches her more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he gets his foot... like, he gets his foot caught, so she discovers him, because he, like, trips.
And then, after that, he, like, comes up on her house and is, like, taking pictures of her house and her playing with her dog and shit, and then she hears the camera. Like, he's a piece of shit, right? Mm-hmm.
It's a creep show. Yeah.
Why does she like him at all?
Well, it's the same thing as like Indiana Jones, right? Yeah. He's a creep, and then ultimately he gets the girl.
But he's Harrison Ford.
Right.
And this is Randy Quaid, so that's right. The difference.
That's why we were both, I think that's why both Mal and I were like, there's nothing redeeming about this man in any capacity. He's so gross. He's so repugnant as a love interest. And yet here we are, which is like having to accept.
He's like sassing her and shit.
And yelling at her.
Like, I think it was the first interaction that they actually had a real conversation was with that priest eventually, you know, at the carnival. Mm-hmm. And she's straight up telling the priest, this is the man who was, like, harassing me and stalking me and stuff like that. And taking photos of my home and shit like that and, like, and being a fucking creep. And all of a sudden, he's just like, no, you're wrong. You've understood this incorrectly and all this kind of stuff. And he's just a fucking cock the entire time.
Yeah, Randy Quaid was a cock the entire time.
Well, and the priest as well.
And the priest. Well, yeah, but it's a priest. So
that's fair.
Like you expect it. Yeah, that guy's gonna suck.
I don't know.
So it's like Randy Quaid is having like this human experience where he loses his job and just like is falling in love with this woman and her weird family and the countryside. But also he's interacting with these leprechauns.
Yes, yes.
And they're having a Romeo and Juliet, which is, in my opinion, very unsettling. The entire fairy realm.
Yes.
Very unsettling to me. I did not like where they lived. I didn't like it.
The berserker fucking Xanadu vibe for the trooping fairies, which are like the high class fairies, and then the leprechauns being like the lower working class and or like I presumably like Irish.
Yeah.
In this, like the most like direct representation of Irish people.
Right.
And they even did like the class structure in the sense that the fairies were in the sky and the leprechauns were closer to the ground.
Or like living underground in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or so it was like they were very explicit showing like, oh yes, there is a class balance. Or class imbalance here, excuse me.
Sure, yeah. And when they go to the fairy ball and the ball theme is leprechaun, that's fucking insane. That's like fucking like Eyes Wide Shut shit.
I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily Eyes Wide Shut. It felt as if that like the, you know, all of the leprechauns dressed as leprechauns, like the caricatures of themselves to get in to fuck with this party.
Yeah,
you know?
To wear the leprechaun masks and shit.
But everyone there was wearing leprechaun masks. That's insane.
Yeah, like that was just like a fucking thing the high society was doing.
Like making fun of them.
Yeah,
it's very, I mean, like the film is like sharp at some points. And it's very weird. Like it hit me in a weird way. It's like, is this fucking like so offensive that it's funny, or is it like kind of getting it right?
Like, honestly,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think they should have left everything with Randy Quaid out.
Yes.
Like, they should have just focused on the fucking leprechauns and the fairies and stuff like that. That was great.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think.
It seems like it's too soon to me. Like this movie came out too soon after the Troubles to be like doing this, right? Like it's like it's a joke. The whole thing's a big joke and it's just like made for Hallmark TV. It's made like, I don't, it feels like a psyop. Like they're making me think that fucking Irish people are leprechauns. It's not right.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It was, the timing feels really not okay. The fact that it was only filmed in England because they knew that it was like extremely offensive and troubling material was not okay. Because they were like using cultural stereotypes and then taking whatever, like, I don't know, risks they wanted to with actual folklore. I don't know. It was nuts.
But what do you think about the Butter Goblin, though?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're right. But then there was the butter goblin in the swamp.
The butter goblin is a part of it, right? Because he's so British.
He's English.
So British.
Yeah, he's like, I am English through and through. And then is like, but I can be tempted with butter. And like that, what was that?
What he loved butter. Is that like a thing?
I don't fucking know. I've never heard that in my life.
Well, I mean, they don't believe in like spices in England, right? They just got butter.
They don't believe in spices. That's why they've conquered half the world, is to get those spices.
Yeah, and they never use them in any of their fucking food.
They just need to use such a minuscule amount to make sure that they are holding as much as they can at any given time.
Yeah.
I just Googled butter spirit and nothing has come up. The science of fat washing cocktails? Ooh. So it's not folklore. Let's see.
There's no butter goblin.
Butter goblin.
Folklore.
Was it like?
And he lives in the swamp. Like, is that also like
folklore?
Is England
butter.
Swamp? I think it is.
What's that?
Is England a swamp?
I mean, there are parts of it that are the moors, but it's like not super swampy per se.
Hmm.
But like Ireland has bogland, which is more swampy.
Exactly.
But it's different than a swamp, I believe. Bog is different than swamp for specific reasons that I don't know.
Mm. Fairy butter.
Yeah.
I feel like that guy should have...
There's a thing called fairy butter, apparently.
What is it?
I don't know.
It sounds like
weed stuff. Spider eggs.
Yeah. It looks like it. Later, in Little Langdale, the busk of the fort...
No, stop. Stop. We're not learning this on the fly right now.
Okay, so the butter goblin was trying to be Romeo and Juliet's landlord, right? Is that what he was trying to do? Get them to move to the swamp?
He was like, I don't know. No, he immediately sold him out to the fairies for butter. So like, he wasn't like, he was just like someone's shifty uncle. They even like, you know, gave him all those like weird compliments that were like, they called him like the slime ball that can see around corners. And he's like, oh, I love it. Oh, I love being British. Oh, butter. Yes. There's nothing more British than that.
I like that actor.
I don't even know what that character's name was.
Butter Goblin.
It was like Aloysius or something.
Gibbering Ghoul number 3.
Yeah, I don't know. This was just so fucking goofy with them. There was the Ent people, also the spirit of the trees or whatever. They weren't Ents.
No, but that was the vibe.
Yeah.
That was the implication.
There were those ones that looked like they were ghillie suits, you know, like big old bushes walking around too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the old Gregs.
The old Gregs.
Yes, the old Gregs. Like, I wish I knew more about what those characters were supposed to be. Like, at least we got a little bit of an introduction with the spirit of the trees, you know? Because when the war came along, they were the ones that helped launch the leprechauns.
Stop.
I forgot.
When the war actually happens.
Guys, I forgot.
Because of Romeo and Juliet, when the war actually happens, it is insane. Suddenly it becomes this, like, crazy, weird fantasy war movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
what the fuck
and
was
the
happening?
Trees the catapult leprechauns into the floating fairy city,
fairy fortress, and they're just fighting right there. And like the royalty is like involved as well, which actually kind of makes me happy.
Oh, yeah.
Like that they weren't hidden away someplace, but like, what the fuck was happening? What the fuck? What the second installment of this was goddamn bananas.
It was all action.
Yeah, the first one was all like building and everything like that, obviously, right?
Such drama.
Yeah. And like, we had lots of human stuff in there with fucking Jack and Kathleen and everything, but as soon as we got the second installment going, it just felt like it was that war the entire time. The human shit was just gone. Like, and then when they did come into it, it was they were trying to
they were only trying to help the leprechauns or whatever.
And
they tried to act like he was neutral. He's not neutral.
Yeah, he's just trying to help the leprechauns the entire time.
I'm neutral because your war is fucking up my land, so that makes me neutral.
He was so American in the entire situation.
Yeah.
Do you think his landlord should have like warned him?
That there was leprechauns?
That he has to like maintain leprechaun fairy like truces or else.
Maybe he was trying to get out of it himself and like, you rent this place, buddy. I'm tired of seeing the leprechauns.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that the leprechauns were going to be a little meaner. Like, I thought it was going to be like in Leprechaun Origins, you know?
That's where I thought it was going to.
Because it was, you know...
A little more mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a little cabin in the woods.
Nope. They were just like the homies. They're just like, oh, no, we're here to hang out and drink. Well, I mean, so weird.
Jack did rescue.
We're your roommates.
Jack did rescue the one guy at the very beginning.
Seamus?
You know? Yeah,
Seamus. That's why he was in debt forever and a day.
Whatever happened to... Oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask whatever happened to the Kieran Culkin character, but he was just there at the end. He was ready to fight.
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was just kicking it.
Well, even if he died, it didn't matter. He would have been brought back to life anyways.
Right, because they do big war, and then the crow brings them back to life somehow.
Yeah, so she's also Thanos.
She takes away their fucking immortality because she's like, y'all need to fucking keep your shit together. So yeah, she adds some stakes to the situation, but they're like, fuck it, we're warring because of Romeo and Juliet. It's going down.
Yeah, we've lost sons to this battle already. Yeah. It's only just begun.
And then she's like, when they actually Romeo and Juliet, because they fucking do.
And then the antidote gets destroyed.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So many things happened at that same moment. So antidote destroyed, two kids in almost, you know, full dead comatose, and then the big gross man stumbles into his own grave.
Randy Quaid fucking jumps face first into a horse. He falls backwards into a hole that appears in the ground full of rocks.
You know what happened? It was like he was No, this is what happened. He was like, I'm not getting the attention anymore. I need to do something.
It was him the entire second half. Like, anything he was involved with in the second half of the film, it was like, I'm a good guy. Can't you see this? Oh, yeah, well, of course we're going to do this. You got any better ideas? And just like,
they scale a rock face for no reason to go see a crow.
To go see.
Dude, that line was so amazing. What was it? Make that not human-sized or whatever the fuck it was. Yeah, make it a human-sized, not Mickey. Fuck. I love it. He was just condescending the entire second half.
He was horrible.
He was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I wanted him to die.
Yeah.
I wanted him to die in that grave.
I wanted it so bad to just, all gone.
And Wolfie's like, well, good thing he's not dead because I can't bring human people back to life. Only leprechauns.
I'm just a crow.
All right. So the romance, right?
The human romance?
Yeah. Because we can get to the folklore romance in a second, but I want to talk about Kathleen and fucking Jack, right? It's just because the way that their relationship went, it just seems as if like, oh shit, what the fuck is going on, right? He was peeping first.
Peeping
a second time.
Peeping again.
Immediately talks down to her, right? Then he takes her horse in the beach chariot race because she doesn't realize she can't race in it. So he goes, oh, I can race this. I'm a man.
It's my first day.
And then he wins the horse race and they fall in love?
He won the horse race because the horse is a horse.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And then they fall in love right there, right? And then the next day, she's going through his papers in his apartment. I was going to say his squat, but I know he's renting.
I don't think it's like the next day.
Yeah?
I think there's more time passing.
Okay.
Vince always assumes it's the next day or the same day.
Bing, bing, boom, boom, boom. Twin Peaks only happens in 2 weeks. One of those situations. I have no idea how long anything takes. The seasons were all fucked up because everyone was warring. I don't know what time it is.
Uh-huh. Is it winter? Is it fall? We don't know.
Exactly. The entire time, I just had no idea how long anything was taking. So it seemed so quick. But she eventually finds these papers that were all the information regarding his fucking... what was it?
His land grab.
Yes.
What was the company called, though? They had three names.
McGurk.
Something,
Spears,
something.
Spears, and McGurk.
McGurk.
McGurk. Yeah, it has to be Spears, and McGurk. Because it was McGurk. Sperry, and McGurk.
Sperry,
that's
and
what
McGurk.
It was. Yeah, so she finds all the papers involving, like, oh, you should buy up all these houses and bullshit. And then he admits to her, after she confronts him, that he doesn't want to do that anymore, even though...
It's his job,
but then he got fired.
Because he never showed back up in New York, because he, like, purposely missed his train.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
So he got fired.
Because you can take a train from this random village somewhere in Kerry, in Ireland, to New York, is how they were just, like, presenting that. Like, okay. Go on back to the city!
Yep.
How far away is an airport from Cary, where they, well, you know.
I mean, they were like deep in the countryside, so probably at least a couple hours to get to like an actual airport that would fly you out of Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could have been an email.
Could have been an email, bro.
Yeah.
He could have just get called internet. Them. Well, he doesn't have phone service.
Oh, and they don't have electricity out there.
Right.
That's right. They had to go down to the post office.
He was going to tell his boss anyways, boss, this isn't suitable for your type of people.
Yeah.
Don't send them out here.
Well, it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Yeah, everything he said after that conversation, because he's like, yeah, no, I was going to tell them that it wasn't suitable for them out here and shit like that. I'm like, well, are you fucking talking shit now? Like, I felt like there was lots of stuff. He was just like, don't say it. Just don't say it, Randy Quaid. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut up and just tell the truth.
Maybe he don't was well cast. Maybe it's not that he was poorly cast. Maybe he was well cast to be this fucking psycho. Maybe just that's like, how the movie wanted him to look.
He was just playing the victim the whole time. Anytime it was, you know.
Because then after that, he just was a piece of shit to her.
Mm-hmm.
Until they got to the very end after the war, and somehow they're married now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the magic of the Leprechaun.
So, like, I guess that really just goes to show that even as the worst kind of guy, you know, you can lose your job, you can become homeless, some lady will still marry you.
Yeah, just get away from her brothers.
To get away from her brothers.
One of whom is Pete from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, no, neither of those things make you the worst guy. That guy just had nothing going for him, like, not even financial security, and he still just was like... I'm just going to be a piece of shit to you and you have to accept this behavior. Like, is the only redeeming quality that he was, like, over 6 foot and that's what he was fucking counting on? Like, I don't know what the fuck... That's the only thing I can think where he's just like, I'm a big man.
His best... Thank you. Yeah. His best Thank friends you for are saying leprechauns, you guys. Like, what Nailed the fuck?
It. I got you.
He doesn't have anything to bring to the table except leprechauns. They aren't real.
No.
They went to a leprechaun wedding, though.
They did. A leprechaun fae wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interracial fae wedding.
I think that'll solve it for all of time. I think that'll end racism. What do you guys think?
Yep.
Because they're all fairies.
They are all fairies.
So what is their kid going to look like?
Is he going to be able to fly?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, what if it has stupid little spud wings? Like, oh, because he needs wings, but then he's a leprechaun.
It's going to look like Carrot Top circa like 2000 with wings.
Woof.
Oh, God.
Not buff Carrot Top.
Super buff Carrot Top.
Not 2020 Carrot Top.
Buff Carrot Top.
Scary.
Dude, I'm happy we watched this. This was a fever dream of a film.
It really was.
Like, everything on the internet, like, was kind of... They didn't go into much depth. You know, I couldn't find much, actual information about this or opinions or anything like that outside of just like the ratings that we can usually see on Letterboxd and shit. I couldn't find any like reviews or nothing. And like watching it, I'm like, this wasn't that bad.
It seemed pretty polarizing on Letterboxd. Like, you know, the top reviews, like, I'm the only person to have watched this, 1 star. And then it's like the next one is like, I love this movie so fucking much. I love Romeo and Juliet and I love... Irish shit, and it's like,
this was
none of these seem like fair reviews. No. You know, none of these are a review of the movie.
Like, it was a dumpster fire, but god damn it, I was entertained the whole time.
It was so much fun.
And like confused. Yeah. Like, why was I thinking about like politics and stuff while I'm trying to watch this dumb movie?
Yeah. It weirdly was saying things. I don't know if it even knew it was saying. Like, I don't know if it was even intentional enough to be like, yes, we're making a commentary on, like, this specific thing.
Then why is that guy so English? Why is the butter guy so English?
I don't know, dude!
I have no idea. They had to recruit an American for military advice, though.
That was legit.
Like... Yeah. That's why he was there, to give them military advice. He went through basic training.
But did the leprechauns do the basic training? The British guy ends up training them.
Yeah.
He ends up outsourcing his American expertise to a British guy.
To a bunch of...
I guess he's an Irish guy.
People.
Yeah, a bunch of the four brothers.
The four brothers. They're like, hey, you want some gold? Go out there and teach him how to army.
Because is it saying something?
I think that's the most racist part of the whole thing.
It's very confusing.
I don't know.
It's very confusing.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, there's so much. Dude. Just This is a good film.
Is it like it's
it's not though at all.
It's not
It's so good.
It's like, subversive. Like it's fucked up. Like who watched this?
The leprechaun blackface masks were really the part where I was like, "What did we get the fuck into?"
Yeah,
I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Well, because the
it's too much.
First time we realized it was racist. Like, oh, so, is this like an Eyes Wide Shut thing? I'm like, no, I think this is like a blackface kind of thing. And yeah, they had they were complimenting what was it, their eyebrows and stuff like that, how authentic they looked and shit. And like, oh man, it was
something.
It wasn't subtle. That's for damn sure. It was not subtle.
It wasn't.
No, sure wasn't.
I don't even know what to make of it,
dude.
It was unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that a lot of the effects were noteworthy, though, you know.
Okay, noteworthy.
In what way?
Because they were doing lots of practical effects, but then using the digital stuff as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying. Was it? Were they puppet sheep when the leprechauns were
puppet
riding the sheep?
Puppet sheep with doll legs.
It was
okay,
terrifying.
All right.
Was terrifying.
I thought some shots looked like they were real sheep with dolls on them,
right.
And then other times it was clearly grown men on like a furry couch that was moving up and down. But like, I think it was nice that they tried to incorporate them. You know.
It was weird.
Was it nice?
Well, I liked it. I think it made it look magical.
The scene where they're eating breakfast at that creepy guy's house and they're sitting like, and all the furniture is very large. It looks very like play, like cardboard, giant things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very weird.
Very Barbie, right?
Yes.
I really liked when Randy Quaid fucking crawled into Colm Meaney's fucking tent while they're on the army base. Mm-hmm. He's just like having a conversation, laying on his little tum.
Hey, I'm
having
trouble with my girlfriend. She's real
mad
at me.
I know you're in the middle of war right now, but...
I know you're at war, but I have girl problems.
I've been being really mean to her and she's not liking it. What am I doing wrong?
Also, the earth is dying. Could you stop?
Sorry, what is she doing wrong?
Oh, he would never.
Also, your kids are going to kill themselves because you won't stop this war. So...
Okay.
I'm going to help them.
So...
I'm also going to assist this.
The Butter Goblin gave fucking Mickey and Jessica.
That's the name of the world.
Yeah, the Butter Goblin gave Mickey and Jessica fucking the poison that would stop their hearts or whatever the fuck for 10 minutes, right?
To clarify also, Mickey is the son of like the head leprechaun of the county of Kerry.
Yeah.
Jessica is the fairy prince. Mm-hmm. Princess.
Yes.
She's the fairy prince.
Yes.
The fairy prince, yes. And we've had the whole Tybalt being killed,
slayed
and everything like that already, you know? And so they go full Romeo and Juliet. They take the poison, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, well, we have to make a treaty, you know, before our kids die and shit like that." And then they shake hands. The treaty has been reached, and then Kathleen comes running in, and she just like gets what happened. What was that?
She was riding the horse in carriage, in like the little tiny vial that was actually regular size for her.
Yeah,
which should have been smaller.
Yes.
I feel like
yes. Okay.
Shatters, and there's all this liquid that was the antidote. I guess gets splattered on a rock.
But how does it? She gets.
Like, part of the ground, like, crumbles away, and the horse stops. That's the hole.
Okay, all right.
What's his nuts?
I was like, how did that happen? I knew something happened, but I was like, what the fuck was it?
But did the fairies do that, though?
I don't know what the fuck
was. Why did the ground collapse?
If it was your girl, the fucking crow, like, I don't know.
She's not my girl.
I don't know.
She's just like, your girl.
But then,
you know?
Yeah. It sets Kathleen up because she's been nothing but being a wonderful person this entire time. And like, maybe she shouldn't have been hanging out with Jack at all, but she was, and I guess she was being nice, and that's fucking fine. But like, now she's the reason why they can't get the antidote for the poison. And I didn't like that.
That's fair.
What did it matter? What do you mean?
I know.
No one was like, fuck Kathleen. Like, that never happened.
It happened probably when they went home behind, like, their closed door, you know?
Like,
and he was
bitch.
Like,
good thing the
dumb.
Banshee showed up.
Yeah, you're right. Jack would take that home.
Oh, we're real fucking lucky that the crow showed up. Because if not, you know, you'd have been responsible for
more
war.
You really fucked it up.
Yeah. I would Yes, because I know that's what would be happening.
So when are you moving in, Kathleen?
Yeah,
I don't want to be here with all my fucking leprechaun roommates. Do you just want to have sex in front of this family of leprechauns?
They'll be invisible.
They
don't
say
worry.
They're gone, but we know they're there.
Yeah.
I don't understand if they become invisible or intangible, because in the kitchen at the beginning, he is wet.
It's both.
And he is dripping.
I don't know.
But invisible.
I don't understand.
But like when they...
I don't know.
When they're doing like
how
war,
does he change size.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Like when he's stomping around in the lawn and all the leprechauns are camped out on his lawn, he's not kicking them and shit. So they must be intangible. I don't understand it.
They come from a different realm.
Oh,
I mean, yes, maybe they do because they're fae. So it's different. Their fucking physical form doesn't manifest the same way. But then when the fucking one guy tried to shake down the leprechaun for his gold.
He just disappeared. He turned intangible.
Yeah, he like had him by the jacket, and then he just fucked off, and then he was like in a different corner, like hey.
And the jacket stayed.
The jacket stayed. I don't know, man. I don't know fae physics. I don't know what that's like.
What happens to your clothes when you turn into a bat or a crow?
Bat, crow.
Just don't think about it too hard.
when the great or the grand banshee was at the hotel, she had her face mask on. Mm-hmm. Got to see her ears. Her hair was all down. She was just like looking like a normal fucking person, chilling, having room service, right?
Mm-hmm. She said she liked the room service there.
That's why she liked to stay at the hotel, right? Mm-hmm. But then, as soon as she gets out and about, she's got crow feet in human form. That wasn't there before. Like, what the fuck was going on? I didn't understand any of the rules.
I think it was so she could scoop Jack out of the tornado. I forgot there was a tornado.
Oh my god, he was in the tornado.
The rapid shifts in weather caused the tornado.
He got caught up in.
That he was surprised by. he was taken aback by this tornado that just happened upon him. And suck this motherfucker up.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He was inside it. She rescued him. Ow.
He was inside it for like a minute and a half. He's sweet. And she just scoops him right up with her big eagle feet. And gives some exposition as she flies him to where the fuck he needs to be.
She can be whatever size that she wants, you guys. She can be huge. As a crow,
she could be tiny.
She could be extremely tiny. She could be regular human size, but as a crow,
this is
a human sized crow.
Holy shit! She can be a human sized crow.
Uh-huh.
Oh goddamn!
Would you rather fight one human sized crow or a bunch of crows in the shape of a human?
Oh my god!
That's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
I thought you said a bunch of crow shaped humans.
No. A bunch of crows in the shape of a human.
What does that even mean?
Oh, a bunch of crow-sized humans. That's what I meant to say. No, a crow's shaped like
humans. That's so scary.
No, I want a bunch of crows shaped like one human.
Oh, God, call H.R. Giger. We need some art drawn.
Made out of crows, man, or a crow, or a man's head crow.
A man's head crow.
Made out of crows, man. Is pretty cool, though, if you ask me.
Made out of crows.
I don't know. It's just like Spider's Man, but crows.
Dude, I love this movie, everyone. I think everyone should watch it at least once. It's a fever dream. You're going to have lots of fucking fun. Do you think you're going to watch this again?
Am I going to be on drugs for it?
Maybe.
Then, yeah, maybe. Depends on the drugs.
I don't know if I could, man.
I'd watch this again.
She can make me have flashbacks.
To a fairy leprechaun war. When you were sitting on that tree and you were launched in the fucking battle.
I know, I got fired from my job. I lost my apartment. I live in Ireland now.
Dude.
Remember that when that happened?
That scene where the war is happening, you know, it's starting and the storms are just starting in the area. And that lightning bolt comes down and fucking hits the barn.
Holy shit.
Kathleen's barn.
Kathleen's barn.
And then he just walks away like he was in an
like
action
a
movie.
Slow motion fucking action movie walk. I'm like, holy, what the fuck?
Well, how'd they
what the fuck was going on with this film?
How'd they get lightning to strike the barn? It's pretty. Did they?
Was it the Grand Banshee?
oh God, it wasn't real. it was an effect. I'm famously known to not understand effects.
Were you asking earnestly how the production crew
got lightning to strike the barn?
Okay.
Not like in the plot of the movie, like really.
Yeah. Oh,
then it collapses like that just so perfectly.
It just falls in.
Yeah, it just falls in.
Took all the screws out.
It's like they didn't have like any, like there's just some loose chickens in the barn.
Yeah, that were fine. They didn't get crushed.
It's just like four walls. It was just four walls.
They
like
materialized outside of the barn.
They're made out of balsa wood. It's fuck.
What an amazing barn to fall over.
What a barn.
It was just made to fall over. I love it.
Yeah.
What a barn. Fuck.
Like this is not what when I think of a Hallmark movie, I don't think of something with this type of production. You know, like I think of like people in rooms talking. This is not what I would ever imagine.
So no. I don't know.
Like this is like sci-fi. Like this looks
but
like
who's
something
the audience? Hallmark people, like
people who they want to be racist against the Irish for some reason,
or like people who play Dungeons and Dragons, yeah, but like also are really like repressed and sad. I don't like would really enjoy a Romeo and Juliet love story where they survive. Like I don't.
Okay.
So I was.
I don't know.
This is for kids who like Michael Flatley.
Yes. Also, step dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. There was a lot of that.
I had a friend who was into that when we were in high school.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't 1999.
No.
It was like 2009 or 10.
I think my mom would love this movie.
Your mom would. Yeah.
She's known to hate the Irish.
No, I say that because it gave me this vibe like, okay, so when we were younger, we watched this miniseries called The Tenth Kingdom, right?
Okay.
It involved how a bunch of fairy tales, stuff like that, was bleeding into the real world, you know, like maybe like an Ella Enchanted, you know? Mm-hmm. But the real world was like the Tenth Kingdom. So like orcs and shit like that were showing up in New York City and just like, it's whatever. But like, it was huge in the folklore, and I feel like this was the same kind of vibe, you know? Like, it's aimed at the same kind of people. Like, oh no, like you read Lord of the Rings and you thought it was cool, but we don't have a Lord of the Rings movie yet. Oh, are you also into romance and the you know, the Hallmark Channel? We got this fucking idea. It's got Whoopi Goldberg. And they're like, fuck yeah, we loved her in the Sister Act. What is she going to be?
Crow.
Oh, Angie. Crow.
Crow.
Yeah. Like, Crow. No. Like, I feel like this actually has an audience, especially at the time it came out.
Sure.
Because like I said, this was before Lord of the Rings. So like, I don't know. This was still nerd shit. This wasn't like at all mainstream, you know? Like,
I think this is something that the brothers from the Boondock Saints should watch.
Yeah?
The McManus brothers.
Why?
Because I think they'd like it. I think they'd like how Irish it is. They'd be like, look at our beautiful country back in Ireland. It's so beautiful there. They filmed this right there in Ireland. I know they did. It's very authentic.
Much like their accents. Yes.
That's very authentic. You love the Ireland. We love the Dropkick Murphys. They'd probably like this place. But, you know, it tricked them. It would trick them in the same way that Brokeback Mountain tricked me. I thought that was America in Brokeback Mountain. It's not. It's Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's North America, bro.
I know. we can claim the whole thing. It's fine.
It's all us.
Yeah, and that's what the British do, too. They're like, Ireland, that's part of it.
That's ours.
That's still us. Yeah.
That's ours,
no. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
We've got Ireland at home, you guys. That's what this movie is.
So, no. Yeah, we've got Ireland at home. That's exactly what they did. Yeah. That's exactly what they did. This entire movie was like, we don't need to go to Ireland. We've got Ireland at home. Yeah.
But the sad part is they still have a portion of Ireland that's the United Kingdom that they keep.
Yes.
They could have just gotten the part that they still keep.
Yes! Do you think that's where they filmed this?
No, they filmed it in England!
It could have been dangerous.
It could have.
In the, well, late 90s. Alright. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't want to make your offensive Leprechaun movie in Ireland. Maybe that's why Leprechaun Origins was like that, Mal. Because, like, they didn't want, like, an offensive movie filmed there in Ireland. So they're like, oh yeah, let's just turn it into a fucking generic monster, you know?
Yeah, that's probably it.
These motherfuckers looked like cave dwellers from the Descent. Mm-hmm. It was crazy, but like bigger. I think there's only the one leprechaun, though.
I hope so.
Oh, God.
Being that this was filmed in England, passing off as Ireland, mm-hmm. did you get any Irish vibes from it?
No, it was far too sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not at all what it looks like there, ever. Then there's parts of it that are sunnier, but there's never a part that's like that sunny all the time, even during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was any of the architecture similar to stuff you've seen?
I mean, like that thatched little, like, his little fucking house.
It looks like they built the house for the fucking movie.
Like, yeah, that was like the only house we saw, right?
Except for her house, yeah, but we didn't really see the outside of that so much.
And her house is like a palatial estate. Yeah. I don't know, compared to his.
It was at least large enough to house the five of them?
Five adult children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the five adult children. Did she have other family? Like,
who's to say?
They said something about the parents being dead.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if they had ever mentioned it.
No friends either, though.
No.
She didn't have any friends.
No.
It's weird.
Well, no one was at their wedding.
Much like Ghost.
Would you go to that wedding? I don't know.
The leprechaun wedding?
Yeah.
Would you go to a leprechaun wedding? That's the better question.
I'd go to the fucking leprechaun
wedding.
The combo? Was it a wedding combo?
I don't know. She was in a wedding dress.
Yeah. It was a wedding combo.
Well, it's because they have no friends and family, though, right? So they're just like, oh, we'll just...
They're my family now.
She's got four brothers.
Yeah.
She's got four brothers.
Doesn't she know the town and, like, enter in contest and stuff with her horse?
Right.
She
didn't even invite her horse.
Or the landlord.
They're fucking loaded, dude. They struck oil in the
end. Oh, yeah.
Right. We're talking about this at
God,
all.
Like, damn, right. The oil.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. What the fuck?
As a happy ending, we struck oil. What, in 1999? How is that fucking possible?
With a shovel.
I'm not talking like physically possible. I'm talking how did they write that into the movie as an ending? That doesn't make any sense.
The four Irish brothers are still in the field digging for gold, and the leprechaun goes, look at that sparkly spot right there. Give that one a try.
Like it's fucking Animal Crossing. And you just dig.
They dig. Ooh, one little dirt patch. Boop. Like one little. And then there's a fucking oil fountain.
Yep.
In Ireland.
Yep.
It's Pete.
It's a liquid peat.
It's peat oil.
Okay.
Are they?
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes more sense, right?
Sure.
Makes more sense than whatever the fuck else happened.
100%.
Maybe that's why they got married so quick. He was like, oh, well.
I gotta lock this down.
Yeah.
She's disillusioned with me enough that I can get in.
This is the thing, you guys. He is renting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't that belong to his landlord?
No. That was her land.
Spot. It was on her land, yeah.
Oh.
The leprechauns are like, we buried the gold on your land.
Yeah.
It's weird.
2 feet down.
It's weird that you'd be mad at the leprechaun for having you dig up and till your own land. Like, my understanding was that the leprechaun was having them till his land for no reason.
Oh, no. I don't think there was... I think he was just fucking with him. I think he was just being a little mischief boy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as leprechauns go, Mal,
mm-hmm.
how did the array that we saw in this film compare? Do these guys, you know, hold a candle to old Warwick Davis?
Well,
or like,
I didn't know leprechauns can fly only under the circumstance that they're in love, yes. Which that was weird.
Yes.
That was new information.
Sure.
This whole place was weird. And I don't know what you want me to say.
Was he like the leprechaun or what? Was he like Warwick Davis or what?
No.
I mean, he wasn't as grotesque.
Well, Warwick Davis
so like the makeup and stuff like that.
They both like to drink and party.
Sure.
Yeah.
Similarities are there.
Okay.
Outfits.
They want similar. Their gold.
Yeah, they want their gold.
Well, it's not all they care about.
But they are not helping people, right? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess not. Ultimately, they took over Mr. Jack Wood's life. It took him. They took over his whole life.
And they
probably wasn't hard.
They drank his booze. Yeah. He had nothing going for him. He was getting no high fives.
Five.
That was.
Sip, sip.
We just touched hands. It wasn't a high five.
You just stroked each other's paws gently.
I was over a microphone. It's fine. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just felt like the leprechauns in this were really... they were low-maintenance leprechauns in regards to their costumery and stuff like that. Even, like, the frog bog people... had like more going on, and like the fairies had a lot going on still too. And I felt like the leprechauns were really just like, nope, we're just slapping some ears and a red wig on all these people. You know, it wasn't like they actually did much makeup. So like I knew that like the physically it was different than some of the other stuff we've seen, but I didn't know if like this is like, oh, the flying thing was a regular thing, or can they all go invisible? Like, these are new questions for me. I've never...
Well, none of them had a magic flute.
Oh, that's right.
Nary
one.
That's one of the leprechaun's secret weapons.
Yeah.
It's magic flute. Mm. I didn't see any of them smoke any weed.
Nope.
I didn't.
They were hard drinking people.
They weren't at the strip club.
They didn't go to the strip club. There wasn't very many female leprechauns as far as I could tell. They would duplicate one. They'd be like, oh she looks good. Duplicate. Dance, girl.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Easy, no.
We saw all the leprechauns get duplicated.
Mm-hmm. I understand, but I was like, is that a thing?
Not in the leprechaun things that I've seen.
Does old Jerry's here, and he'll make you reproduce asexually. Boom! Now there's two of you. Like, and you're going to dance in sync. Like, do they share a brain? Like, what the fuck is going on with those guys? Like,
what happens at the end of the night? Do they have to, like...
Our community doubled! How are we going to house these people? Like...
Or do those three younger women just morph back into the one old woman who spawned them?
Yeah.
Because she was like very old and decrepit, and like, we split her age in three. Now there's three of them, but they're all like jazzing around, dancing up a storm.
And they share one brain cell between them.
Yes.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
It is spooky. Yeah. I don't personally... I wouldn't want to live in the Irish countryside if this is what it's like.
Mm-hmm. If this is what you have to look forward to.
So you know what? This land
is much more exciting.
This land is not suitable for my type of people.
Yes. Uh-huh. But Josh, you know, I want to know how you feel about this in numbers.
Man, how could I?
We've molded over for fucking hours now where this has just been like so much.
How
do you feel?
How could I feel about it? You know what? I'm gonna give this one a little bump. I think that this one is 3 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
Because you know what? Not only did a movie get made, but a movie made me think. You know? And it made me go, why would you fucking do this?
Yes.
Why is Whoopi here? And then I looked at her like letterbox and she's in a lot of shit, dude.
Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, she's been acting. That lady acts, dude. How'd she find time to be on The View?
I have no idea.
She's still on there?
I have no idea.
Okay, well.
I think she is.
I hope she's doing good. You know, like, I liked her performance in this movie. I gotta be honest. I liked the character. I liked the performance. I thought it was, whatever she's doing with her voice, not offensive to me.
No.
I don't know what she was doing.
It was a non-accent accent.
I was like, was it an accent? Because sometimes it sounded like she was trying, and then other times it didn't.
Well, when she'd say Ireland, she would usually go for it. But usually she was not, you know?
You know, I hear you.
3 out of 5. It was impressive. I can't believe I put 3 hours of my life into it.
I feel you. I feel you.
Better than Heat? No. However, I gave them the same rating, you see. Sometimes you gotta take Heat down a peg.
Yes. Let's take Heat down a peg, Josh. You and I. Watch out, Michael Mann. We're coming for you. And Robert De Niro.
You're on my shit list.
we're beefing. Who else are we beefing with? Ja Rule? And
I'm going.
Yes. Cool.
Sure.
Joe, how do you feel?
Oh. God.
It always gets to this part of the podcast where we're always surprised. Wow.
I know. I just genuinely don't know what to do with this. It was so bad, but I had so much fun.
Yes.
So, like, how does one quantify that? Like, how does one put a number to that? This is the first one where I was like, no, this is actually awful, but I had so much fun that I loved it.
Yeah.
It's awful in a way that is so intriguing to me.
Yes.
Like, why did they make it like this?
I don't know.
Why are these two movies being forced to be one movie? Dude, that is two parts long. Just make a regular length movie.
I don't know.
About regular things. Or make a fantasy movie about fantasy things. Why are they intersecting? Why isn't this just about a creepy man going to do a land grab in Ireland and falling in love with a woman and deciding that he can't pave paradise and put up a parking lot or whatever he wants to do?
I don't fucking know.
Because no one will fucking watch that movie because no one will believe it with this man. He is a man who talks to leprechauns.
You know what? Fucking.
Sorry.
Do you like it medium? You can like it medium.
Yeah, I like it medium. I like it medium fairy. Yeah.
Medium fairy. All right.
On your patented fairy scale.
Medium fairy. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I can even. You know, argue any points. That sounds like a great sum up. This was a fever dream, Joe. I agree with you. Yes. Yeah, it was something. But medium fairy. All right. Are you feeling medium fairy too, Mal? How are you feeling about this?
Two out of five, and I think it would have been more respected. Like, it's pretty much a Studio Ghibli movie done poorly and in Ireland. It was weird. Made me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But also, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But solid too.
It was uncomfortable.
I was so uncomfortable with Randy Quaid.
Dude, there were so many parts so that were uncomfortable.
I hated anytime they were in the fairy palace. I hated it. It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
All right. What if they were somehow two separate things, but still... Like, what if Randy Quaid had all of his stuff
mm-hmm.
in the first episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the last 10 minutes, he finds out there are leprechauns or something like that, and then it becomes a leprechaun war. Do you think it may have worked better being more separated? Or, I don't know. I feel like that's just making two different movies then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it should have just been two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the way that they play together, even though that doesn't make any sense... It's just perfect.
It's crazy.
I can't believe this fucking guy just moved to Ireland, like was creepy to his closest neighbor, and then married her.
Married her.
And he has like no roots in the community except with these weird fucking leprechauns.
Their relationship was built on fucking lies the entire time.
And leprechauns.
And leprechauns. Lies and leprechauns.
Which is a lie.
And now oil.
And now oil.
I think everything's going to turn out okay for those lovebirds.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be very happy together.
I give this a 3.5 out of 5. I had lots of fun, guys. I'm going to watch this again.
It's the best Romeo and Juliet I've ever watched. Fuck you, Baz Luhrmann.
Fair enough.
I thought this was lots of fun. Like I said, I dig it. I think my mom would actually really like it, so I'm going to suggest it to her. Like, I'll probably tell Michelle about it, because I think she would fucking think it's weird. As soon as Whoopi Goldberg shows up, I know she's going to be in. She loves Whoopi. Yeah.
It's true.
This was a weird fever dream of a film, and I feel like I had lots and lots of fun watching it with you guys. So, like, yeah, 3.5. Fucking about it.
Good.
Hell about yeah. it. Hell about yeah. it. Now, we did not find a budget for this because it was made for TV, obviously, right? There's no box office. But we did have some reviews, some Letterboxd and stuff like that. It is at 3.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, 7 out of 10 on IMDb. It is not available on Rotten Tomatoes, but there's an audience score of 80%. And Amazon has it sitting at 4.7 out of 5.
Wow.
83% wow. 5 stars.
So people like this movie, not ironically.
3%.
Wow.
1 star.
It's amazing.
Who knew?
And I can guarantee... that some of those one-star reviews on fucking Amazon were because people ordered the wrong region DVDs. So, yes, their DVDs, in fact, did not work.
We love it.
Yes.
We love it.
100%. Ebert didn't see this at all.
Yeah, right. He's ashamed.
You know?
He saw it.
He didn't see it, but I did find one piece of trivia that I would like to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
A majority of the cast was struck with the virus while filming, and they had to take a couple of weeks off.
Curse of the Bog Witch.
Oh my gosh.
This took 10 weeks to film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Butter Goblin.
The Butter Goblin.
Go ahead, got him.
Yeah, his name was Aloysius. You were right. Aloysius Janti.
Aloysius, so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, this seems to be kind of well-liked.
Well, I'm glad then that we got to watch it. It was so far down on Letterboxd when you're looking at Whoopi's films.
So far down. But yeah, no, this was a good one. I did find a tagline for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just one. In a land of myth and magic, a wondrous adventure is about to come true.
What does it mean for an adventure to come true?
Is it in a land of myth and magic? I thought we were in Ireland.
It is.
So, how are we feeling on this? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Oh, we're split. Josh, tell me, how do you feel?
Thumbs down.
Ooh, Josh takes it.
Where do I take it?
It's taking it down. Oh. Taking it down a peg.
Yeah.
This fucking tagline got taken down a peg by Josh.
Heat, Ghostbusters, this tagline.
Josh, I think the last thing to do is to go over the Swayze scale. Okay. How's this rate, bud?
We're going to need help. I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, what about athletics?
Did you believe any athletics in this film?
I didn't see anyone do anything athletic. Now that I'm thinking, well,
oh, no, backflip. Backflip guy.
Oh, the backflips.
And they were getting flung through the air.
They mm-hmm. were. They did get catapulted.
They did basic training where we watched all.
They did not do. Oh, I
the
guess
brothers no. march around.
I guess Pete did the basic training.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Was his name really Pete?
No, that's just what he's called in Shaun of the Dead. Oh. He's the roommate Pete.
I thought that that's what his name was.
I forgot his name already.
I don't think they named any of them.
Okay, so we got athletics. We got class stuff. We already know that. Do we have dad stuff though?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Seamus was a dad.
Wow.
And there was Roger Daltrey. He was a dad, too.
How about the gender expression? Do we have any, like, positive masculinity or even feminisms?
I don't know.
I don't believe so.
I think that in regards to feminism, maybe we could have when the queen was, or what was it, Mary was captured, right? Mm-hmm. And she was talking with the queen while she was being interrogated or whatever. They seemed like palling up. And then they palled up at the end also.
I do think they passed the Bechdel test, but mm-hmm. we do have...
Because no, most of the time when they talk, they're talking about their stupid husbands being stupid.
Yeah. They were bonding over that.
But would either of you choose to give it a point for feminism?
I would not. Well, you make up your own mind. But I understand.
Was there anything else that happened?
I don't think I could possibly give it a feminism just myself, based on how that man behaves.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I was just thinking, too. Yeah, okay. No.
That's fine.
And the gender expression, I think, is non-existent in this film, except for that women can't drive horses.
Horses. Yeah.
On the beach, specifically.
They're not allowed to.
And
anyway.
When in dangerous situations with, you know...
With serums.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's why she wasn't allowed to drive, because she was gonna drive into a hole.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It was foreshadowed.
See?
Jesus, but that did not make feminism. How about fighting? I know there was a war.
There was fisticuffs. They got out their shillelaghs.
The shillelagh fights.
And they were fighting, yes.
And,
you know?
And no nudity, though, because this was made for your Hallmark.
Nary a nipple.
Nope.
I don't believe there was a road trip at any point. Was there?
There were... Mm-mm. The horse and cart?
Carriage trips.
That was a race.
No, but they were going to see the fucking crow, man.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The road
you're
trip
right.
to the crow. You're right. Right.
Yeah. Road trip to the crow.
That's like saying there was no road trip in Lord of the Rings. I get it. They went all the way up to Mount, whatever that place was, Moria. Mount Moria. Isn't that where the mines are at? The dwarves live?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, that's where the crow lives.
The crow.
Deep in the depths of Mount Moria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they had to trick that fire monster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not big enough, bro. You're not big enough.
And he's
I'm
like,
American.
I'm so big, bro.
I'm so big, bro.
Oh, you got cheated.
I bet I could get even bigger if you needed me to. I need you to. I'm gonna get so big.
Okay, so did we?
And then the plan, run, and then they run in there. Like, motherfucker, you can fly. Just zip, zap, zoop right in there.
They both can.
Speaking of those little nerds, do we believe their romance?
I believe their romance.
He can fly. I mean, he believes it.
He yeah. believes it. But I think that's all we ask here. In the sick whip. Now, which cart had the sickest seat when they were when they were driving on the beach? Guys, those are pretty good ones.
It's hard to say.
I thought that first cart that they were in while he was like going to his house to lease, mm-hmm. they were just squeezed in that one seat.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that one was sick.
Mm, that was pretty sick.
That's a good one.
Did we see any knives?
Mm.
You guys aren't even going to believe
there was
this.
A butter knife. I saw a butter knife.
I feel like there was like hatchets, but I never saw a knife.
Oh, yeah. There was a big hatchet of that yeah. one guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a knife.
It was a leprechaun.
A hatchet is not a knife.
Nope.
No.
So I'm not certain I saw any knives. So you guys aren't going to believe this. You really won't.
Is it the most Swayze it could be?
It's pretty Swayze. We've got 8 out of 10 leprechauns.
Yeah!
Plus one bonus. Crow!
Crow!
On our patented Swayze scale.
Dude.
Can you believe it? 8 out of 10?
I can. That movie had everything, dude. Josh.
It just needed a little bit of nudity and a feminism, and holy shit, we would have been perfect.
Yeah, I had like, no time.
One of those women just needed to pick up a sword and be like, I need no man. And then, like, it would have been fine. And then,
neither do I, Rebecca!
Or if, like, you know, like, if there was actually peace reached between the two moms talking or something, like, yeah. if those women being in the room together could have done something,
yeah.
I think it would have been interesting. But, like, why did they...
Well,
and Jessica's midwife, that's not the right word. Jessica's homie.
Lady in waiting.
Yes. Yeah. They all they did was talk about fucking, what was his name? Mickey.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, there could have been something here about, like, even, like, making it, like, a trad wife sort of thing. Like, there could have been some sort of feminism in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not there.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
You're right. Yeah. That's a thing. Guys, I appreciate you watching this with me. I know it was a lot to ask to spend a day having fun with your friends, but
Jesus, what's your name, Randy Quaid?
Right?
Fuck yeah! God,
what a
Quaid
guilt
sucks.
Trip.
Nailed it, everyone. This was wonderful. I'm so happy you were here. I hope that we've inspired you, the dear listener, to watch this and write in with your how you feel about it too, because like it's available to you. We're at SwayzePod@gmail.com. We're on Instagram and all that at SwayzePod. Josh is on Letterboxd at Josh with CY. I'm on Letterboxd at Vincent Troya. Ladies, do you have anything you'd like to promote?
After you, Joe.
Like my bakery, which will hopefully be open soon. Hopefully by the time this comes out.
Basically open.
Basically, we're pretty much open. Basically open. Yeah. Yeah. You're following on Instagram. But yeah, Instagram at Forest Oak Park.
You can see how open they are.
Yeah.
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 Let them know. Well, this has been great. I guess this is the end, so you can end it here.
They're Swayze adjacent. He couldn't be